शिवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम करुणानिधे सर्वं ग्राह्य गृहीतायं माम उद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल्सूरयाः तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहगम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परे ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुकमुखादमृतम् द्रवसंयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुका सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदम् अभेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहगादरम् आजुहावाम् पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयातरवोऽभिनेदु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितिदीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितादृतानिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदाम् मुरारे मधुरीम् न कनिकापि कापि काबीम् नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेविन् गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दम् व्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्मश यासम् हरिगदोद्गीतम् पुनादि भुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्ख कौमोदकी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालयेशमनिशम् प्रतिभावयामि ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we were discussing last Sunday the story of Dronacharya. Now, Guru Maharaj, after the while he departed from this world, there was this special incident which happened, and that is specifically mentioned also in the Bhagavadam and all the other commentaries as well, that Guru Maharaj went back to the Dhruva planet in his own material body. What he had here, he moved in the same body without handing it over to the to Yamadharma Raja here, which is normally we all have to do. We have to hand over this body here, and that is how the laws of material nature work, and we can't take it with us. So at the end, Dhruva Maharaja's case, there was a difference, and this difference was because in the third canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi said through Kapila Vasudev to Devahuti Devi, while mentioning that, Mama gunagana leela karna ne kirtana dhe mai sura saridhoga prakhyajitanu vrti bhavadi varama bhakti sahi mrityor vijetri. That devotion, pure devotion to Krishna, is even capable of winning over the death. That is what it means. Bhavadi varama bhakti sahi mrityor vijetri. That even one can get out of the clutches of death. That one doesn't have to even change the body. That is so powerful, the process of Krishna consciousness is. So this was stated in the third canto by Kapila Vasudeva when he spoke to Devahuti Devi. And to establish that fact, it will appear in the Bhagavadam as though Vedavyas put Dhruva Maharaja's story straight away to prove that. And that is why it, at the end of the Dhruva Maharaja's story, it is mentioned there that mrityum mudripadam dattvam ariroha-budam griham. That is how Dhruva Maharaja went back. Mrityum mudripadam dattvam ariroha-budam griham. That he asked, Narayana Rishi asked Dhruva Maharaja, put your feet on the top of his head, on Yamadharma Raja's head, and climb into the aeroplane which was brought by the Krishna's servants. And he was asked to climb into that aeroplane with his body, just to prove that mrityo murdhribadam dattva arirohalbudam griham. That is why he was, that is how he was sent back to the spiritual world, to Dhruva's planet. So this is how Dhruva Maharaja's story has ended. And this story was spoken in the sacrificial arena of Prajedas. Prajedas were performing a big sacrifice, and that is where this story was spoken. And we read here at Maitreya Maharshi was talking about this to Vidura, and that was quoted by as Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, which in turn in Bhagavadam as it comes, it is how Sudha Goswami Sudha Goswami was talking about that to Shavanak Rishi and the other sages in Nainisharanam. So you can see that it comes through so many different personalities before it has come into Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vedavyasa Maharshi put this in the Bhagavatam with this intention to make us realize that the power or the strength of Krishna consciousness is so high that even one may not have to change even his own body here, and he can go back to the spiritual world without changing the body, because changing the body is always a painful thing for a living entity who has accepted a material body. So that was the point which was driven through this Dhruva Maharaja story. Now, after this, in Dhruva Maharaja story in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, the next story is another king who appeared in the same dynasty of Dhruva Maharaja. After Dhruva Maharaja, Dhruva Maharaja ruled the planet for a very long period of time, over 36,000 years, and then he went back with his mother, and then there were many, many great personalities, kings appeared in that same dynasty. And after that, at one particular point, a king appeared by name Anga, and that is the story which is going to come. But actually, when we have to talk about that story, it's a bit frightening also, because this story has a lot of resemblance to us. I'm talking about the human society. Because the way Anga Maharaj's son acted, and the way he related with this world, and what can happen, and the presence of that king, that element of that particular personality is very much within us as well. due to certain circumstances, we live in a controlled way. We are controlled by the laws of the world and by the society and all that. But if a situation arises when these controls do not exist, to what extent the human society can degrade itself and act, that story will come from Vena's life. Though King Vena, who is the son of Anga, so that's the story which appears after that. So when we are discussing this story of King Vena in the Srimad Bhagavatam, most often people find very difficult to talk about it because of the nature of that personality who appeared as a king in the great dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj. And here we are discussing a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj who was able to give up his enmity in few seconds. As soon as Swayambhuva Manu told Dhruva Maharaj to give up this enmity towards the Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj said, I have given up all my enmity towards... Who else can do that? That inimical feeling inside, he was able to wipe it off in a few seconds. He was able to do that. That is the glory of the Dhruva Maharaj dynasty. And another king, Pridhu Maharaj, who appeared in the same dynasty, acted in the same way. And therefore, that dynasty became Swayambhuva Manu's, these grandchildren, they became very glorious in the history. But it is in the same dynasty, this king also appeared, Vena has appeared. So before we move into Vena's story, it is necessary we finish Dhruva Maharaj's part of the chapters related to Dhruva Maharaj's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we will talk about Vena's appearance and the whole history behind Vena's life. How important it is to know King Vena and his administration. And what can happen when one keeps Krishna away from life. All these things will come in that story. So I'll just read that two chapters related to the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And then we will talk about King Vena after that. This is the chapter 10 of the fourth canto.
Shri Maitreya Vacha Prajapadir Duhidaram Shishumarasya Vaidruva Upeyami Bhumim Namatav Sudo Kalpavalsaro Ilayam Vivaryayam Vayo Putrayam Mahabala Putram Ulkulamanam Roshidratnam Ajijanal Uttama Sukhado Dvaho Vrajayayam Viliyasam Hadapunni Janina Drautan Madasa Gadim Gada Dhruvo Bhradruvadam Shrutva Koba Amarsha Shucharpida Jaitram Syandanavasaya Gada Punni Janale Gattu Adijim Disham Raja Rudra Anijara Sevidam Dadarsha Himaval Dronyam Purim Ukhyaka Sampulam Dadma Ushangam Bhrahat Bahu Khamdishashchan Nalayan Eno Dhyugnadu Shakshat Ubadevyotra Sanimbhasham Tato Nushkramya Balina Ubadeva Mahabhada Asahamdaspanni Nalam Abhivedurudha Yuthaha Satana Badado Vira Mugradanyuva Maharadha Egaigam Yugabal Sarvanahan Banaistri Vistribhi Teva Igalara Lagnaistai Shubhisarvamevahi Matva Nirastamalpanamasham Sankarmadasyadal Tevichamu Mrushyandam Padasparsham Yorega Shareya Vidhyan Yugabal Dviganam Prasikirshava Tada Parikhanistrim Shri Prasa Shula Varashunai Shaktishtimir Bushumbi Shitravajai Shareya Ravi Abhivarshan Bhagavidam Sagadan Sahasaradim Ichandastal Padigartum Aidani Trayodasham Autanavari Sadada Shastravarshena Bhurinam Na Upadrishavachanama Sarena Yathagiri Hahadarasadevasi Siddhanam Divivashyaram Hadoyamanam Suryo Adnapurni Magnapurni Jana Arnavim Nadalsu Yadudhanishu Jayakashishwadomrade Udadishtadadastasyami Hara Adivavaskaram Dhanurvispoze Divyam Dushadam Kedamudvahan Astrogham Vedamalbhane Ghananigam Vanilam Tasire Javanam Muktam Vitva Varmani Rakshasam Kayana Avishustikma Girin Shanayo Yatha Bhalle Samchidyamananam Shiro Vishchari Kundale Uru Vrhema Himalala Abhe Gorbhi Varun Varaval Ghubi Harage Uru Mugde Ushni Umshishta Mahadhani Astrudasarana Bhore Jurvira Manohara Halavashishtam Vireira Nanjiram Drajhoganam Chatrayavarya Sayagai Prayo Vipna Vayavidruvar Murgendra Vikri Vedayuthamamivam Abashyamanasadadadadayana Mahamrade Kanchana Manavottamam Purim Durukshanda Vinavishal Dushanamayam Vedyavirshidam Jana इति ब्रुवान् चित्रग्रहस्व सारथिं यत्र परेषां प्रतियोगसंहिता शुश्रावशब्दं जलवेरिमेदिनं नभस्वतो दिक्षितजोन्यदृश्यता क्षणेनाचार्यदं व्योमं घनानीयेन सर्वदा स्फुरत्थटिकारुश्रोत्रासयेन स्तनयित्मनाम् ഉപർഷോരുതിരഗ്രുധിരവധാസ്ത്രോയമുത്രമേതസാത്മേദുർഗനാദസ്യവന്ധാന്യഗ്രോനഖാഷദീർഭീമാപ്ലാവയൻ സർവോമുഖം സർവോഭുവം ആസസാദമഹാഹ്ലാദകൽപ്പാന്തമിവ ഭീഷണ മുനയൗതാനപാദേ ഭഗവാം സ്തവ ശാന്തധന്വാം ദേവക്ഷിണോ തവനവാതിഹരോ വിവക്ഷൻ എന്നാമധേയമഭിധാനശംയജാദ്ധാലോകോഞ്ജസാന്തരദിദുസ്തരമംഗമൃത്യുംഭാഗവേ മഹാപുരാണേ ചതുർത്ഥസ്കന്ധേ ദശമോധ്യായം ശ്രീമൈത്രേയവാചാംഷ്യംഗദാദിഗദദാമിവമൃഷീണാംധനുഷിധ്രുവസന്ദനേസ്തമവസ്പൃശ്യ എന്നാരായണനിർമ്മിതം സന്ധീയമാനമേതസ്മിന്മായ ഗുഹ്യകനിർമ്മിതാം ക്ഷിപ്രമേശോർവിതരക്ലേശാജ്ഞാനോദേയഥ സസ്യാർഷാശ്രംധനുഷിപ്രയുഞ്ജത സുവർണഭുംധാക്ലഹംസവാസസാം വിനിസ്രദ അവിമിഷോർഷഡ്ബലം യഥാവലം ഭീമരവാശിഖണ്ഡിനാം തൈസ്തിഗ്മധാരേ പതനേശരീമുഖൈ ഇതസ്തത പുണ്യജനാമുഭാദ്രത ഗുഹ്യനാഗസ്ചിത്രരഥേന ഭൂരിശ ഔതാനവാദിം കൃപയാ വിനാമഹോ മന്ദർജഗാദോപഗതസഹർഷിശ്രീമനുവാചാം അലം വത്സാദിരോഷേണ തമോദ്വാരേണ പാപനായേന പുണ്യജനാനേത നവധീസ്തുമനാഗസ ആസ്മൽക്കുലോചിതം നാമ കർമ്മൈ തൽസ്തുതിഗർഹിതം വധോ യദുപദേവാനാം ആരബ്ധസ്തേ കൃതൈനസാം നന്മേകസ്യാവരാധീന പ്രസംഗാൽബഹവോ ഹദ ഭ്രാതുർവധാമി തത്തേന ത്വയാംഗഭ്രാതുർവത്സലാം നായം മാർഗോ ഹി സാധൂനാം ഋഷികേശാനുവർത്തിനാം യദാൽപാനാം പരാഗ്രഹ്യവശുവത്ഭുതേശസാം സർവഭൂതാൽപഭവേന ഭൂതാവാസം ഹരിം ഭവാൻ ആരാധ്യമധുരാരാധ്യം വിഷ്ണോസ്തൽപരമം പദം സത്വം ഹരേ അനുധ്യാതൽപ്പം സാമി സമ്മതക്കഥം തോവജ്ഞം കൃതവാനുശിക്ഷൻ സദാം പ്രദാം തിരിക്ഷയാ കരുണയാ മൈത്രയാ ചാകിലജന്തുഷു സമത്വേന സർവാത്മാ ഭഗവാൻ സംപ്രസേദതി സംപ്രസന്നേ ഭഗവതി പുരുഷ പ്രാകൃതേ ഗുണേ വിമുക്തോ ജീവർമുക്തോ ഭ്രമനിർവാണം പൃച്ഛതി ഭൂതൈ പദ്ധ്യവിനാരബ്ധേ നോഷിൽ പുരുഷമയോ ഹി തയോർവ്യവായാം സംഭൂതി നോഷിൽ പുരുഷയോരിഹ ഏവം പ്രവർത്തനേ സംഗസ്ഥിതി സംയമയോ ജ ഗുണവിധിരാജാജന്മായ പരമാത്മനാമിത്തമാത്രം നത്രാസിന്ദർഗുണപുരുഷർഷഭാവ്യക്താവ്യക്തമിതം നിശം യത്ര ബ്രഹ്മലോഹവൽ സഖൽവിദം ഭഗവാൻ കാലശക്തിയാ ഗുണപ്രവാഹേണ വിഭക്തവീര്യ കരോത്യകർത്തൈവ നേഹത്യഹം ദാചേഷ്ടാ വിഭൂന്ന ഹൃദുർവിഭാവ്യാം സോനന്ദോന്തകരെക്കാലോ അതിരാതികൃതവ്യയ ജനം ജനജനയന്മാരയൻ മൃത്യുനാന്തകം നവേ സുഭക്ഷോസ്തി വിവക്ഷമേവോ വാ പരസ്യമൃത്യോ വിശദ സമം പ്രജ തം ധാവമാനം അനു സമിതദാർത്യസൗ കേസിൽ കമോദന്യനം സ്വഭാവം വരയുന്ന ഏകീകാരം പരിദൈവം പുംസ കമോദാപരേ അവ്യക്തസ്യാപ്രമേയസ്യാനാശക്തിദയസ്യജാ യസ്മൈ ബലിം വിശ്വസജോ ഹരന്തീ ഗാവോ യദാ വൈ നസിതാമേന്ദ്രിതാം യപഞ്ചവർഷോ ജനനീം ത്വ വിഹായ മാതുസ്വപത്നിഹമജസാഭിനവർമ്മ വരം ഗതസ്തവസാ പ്രത്യംഗക്ഷമാരാധ്യ ലോഭേ മൂർത്തിനിവദന്ദ്രലോക്യാം തമേനമംഗാത്മനി മുക്തവിഗ്രഹേ വ്യാവാശനന്ദഗുണമേകമക്ഷരം ആത്മാനമന്യുച്ചയുക്തമാത്മതസ്മിന്നിദം ഭേദമസൽപ്രതീയതേ ത്വം പ്രത്യഗാത്മനി തഥാ ഭഗവത്യനന്ദം ആനന്ദമാത്രം ഉപവന്ന സമസ്തശക്തോ ഭക്തിമിഥായ പരമാംശനയൈരവിദ്യാം ഗ്രന്ഥിം വിഭേയലസ്യ സിമമാഹമിതി പ്രചൂഢം Nayavan Mahanam Teja Kusham no Pimavishani Evan Soyam Bhum Yotram Anishasim and Urdron Enahivandita Sagam Shavis Sobiram Yeo Vishiman Pagali Mahabran in Chalataskandi Egali Shodhyayam.
So this is one more chapter and then we move into the story of Vena.
Shri Maitreya Vajam Dhruvam Nimartam Pratibuddhya Vaishasa Abhedamanyam Bhagavan Dhaneshwara Tatragadascharana Yakshajindare Samstuya Mano Bhyavadal Kadanjalim Dhanada Vaja Bhobo Kshatriyadayadam Pratishtosti Denaka Yastvam Pitamahadesha Dvairam Dustajamatyaja Namhavana Vadidhyakshana Dakshana Yakshabradaram Dhava Karamayo Hibudanam Prakura Pevhavayo Aham Dhamitya Vartha Viratnyana Purushasahi Swati Vavati Dhyana Dhyaya Bhanda Vipajayo Aham Dhamitya Vartha Viratnyanan Purushasahi Swati Vavati Dhyana Deya Bhanda Vipajayo Tam Yachadro Vidram De Bhagavandam Adho Kshayam Samabhudal Pavavena Samabhudal Pavigraham Vajasurajaniyam Bhimam Havai Bhavachiram Yuttam Virhiram Shakya Vanamai Alpamayam Vrnihigamam Nurvayam Manogadam Matastu Vautana Vadi Vishangida Varam Varahom Budana Bhavadayo Anandaram Tuam Vayam Andashishwama Maitreya Vajam Sarayadi Rajinu Varayam Chodhido Dro Maha Bhagavadu Maha Madi Vihrao Samabhredalidam Spradimyayo Teratet Nidulatiyam Dhamam Tasir Pridina Manasatam Dattu Ibyo Vidastada Vashyandondardari Sobhi Sobhiram Pratipadyada Asaya Jariyat Nisham Pratipar Buridakshane Krivekriyadevadanam Karmakamavala Pradam Sarvalpanyachari Sarveti Vraukham Bhaktimudvahanda Darshatmi Bhureshu Tameva Vastidam Ipam Tameva Nushira Sambandam Brahmanyam Veenavalsalam Goptaram Dharmasirvunyam Veenidhi Pidaram Vaja Shatram Shatvoshasa Sram Shashasa Shidimandalam Bhoge Punyakshayam Kurvan Abhoge Shubakshayam Evan Bhagusam Kalam Mahatma Vajalindriya Trivargo Vaigam Nitva Putraya Adha Nibhasanam Manimanam Idam Nishwam Mayaritam Alpani Avidya Rajita Swapnam Yandharvanagaropamam Atmastrapatya Surdo, Palamurta Gosham, Andapuram, Bari Vihari Boschermia, Humandan and the Vigram Agudaya, Kalo was restricted to pray, Ovisharam, Tasiam, Mishatakaranam, Shuvar Vigashim, Baduasanam, Jamaran, Manasasadacha, Studi, Tarabu, Pudruvayam, Jayam, Sadaja, Hido, Vizal Samadhom, Batim Hariopan with Iprohan, Destramanam, the Vashpadayam, Hirabhimanam, Viklid Yamanakade, Puladan, Jidango, Altmanam, Aspera Savi Mutteringa, Sadarshamana, Jamamasova, the Eldruva. Ibraja Shadisho, Yaga, Padimiodinam, Tatrano, the Provino Chatrujo, Shamo, Kishara, Uranam, Jacano, Sidava, Vashtapinadam, Suasso, Kirida Haram, the Jari Wundalo, Vitnaida, Utamagaya, Utamagaya, Kingaram, Abhutida, Satusanistra, Tama, Nanavanaman, Madibusha, Pasha Pradana, with Saham Samaranjari, Tom Krishnavada, Binishanam, Badanjali, Imbrishanam, Randanam, Sunananda, also Tesasminam. Pratyuja do Pushkaranam Samada, Sunananda, Ujudu, Babu Rajan Subadram Devasam, no Hishano, Japanja Vashastavasa, Bavan, Deva Ditrubal, Tasya Vilakanta, Ravam, Deva Sishangina, Pashala, Yasam Pratoni, and Tombagal Padam, Suraja, and Shavanjan Toya, Yelsuayo, Prabhu Yachan, Evera Madisha, Chandra Divagar, Ada Yonga Hacharaya, Parian Yachanam, and Asin, and they will meet the Pinja Hijil, Adashadamanjan, Tandushno, Vadamanbadam. Yet the Vimana Program Utamashavanya was Tara Manishman, the Odam Tomahasim, Maitreya Vajam, Nishamavakundan Yonjimakayo, Maduchina Madhuri Kamapriya Kadamashe, Kanatiam Lomanin Pranamyam, Pranamyam Shanamapyavadel, Paritya Pyachalishni Agam, Pasha, the Vivasha, Vivian Jaya, Yeshadavishan, Bredulam Hiran, Bredulam Hiran Mayam, Tadotana Putro, the Darshan, the Gamadam, but your Murtevadam, the Tua, Adioha, Alpudam Graham. Yel Brajamanam Suriva Sarvado, Dogastra, Yoshin Brajandamede, Enna Brajandushu Yenugraha, Vedan Divatranikan and the Enisham Shanda, Samanishanda Sarabuda, Gulanirinja, Yandinja Sachida, Badamachida Priyavantava, Itutanavada Putro through Krishna Parayana, Avultrayanam Loganam, Chuda, Vidivamalam, Jambira Vego, Misham Jurisham, Chakamahidam, Yasmin, Brahmi Gauravim, Shed, Vedya, Mimamagavam, Ganam. Mahimanam Vilokyasya Amarado Bhagavan Kushi Adodhyam Vivan Shogan Satre Gail Prajena Sam Shri Narada Vajam नूनं सुनीदे परिदेवतायां सप्तप्रभावस्य दशदां जनिं पृष्ट्वाभिभायानभिवेदवादिनो नैवाभिगन्नं प्रभवन्निगं प्रभां यपञ्चवर्षो गुरुदारमाक्षरेर्भिनयमयादोहृदयेन वनमदादेशकरोचितं प्रभं जयाय तल्भक्तगुणैः पराजितम् യക്ഷത്രബന്ധുർഭുരസ്യാദിരൂഢ അന്യാദിരുക്ഷേദവിവർഷഭൂഗൈ ഷട്പഞ്ചവർഷോഹിതഹോ വിരൽപ്പൈ പ്രസാദ്യവൈകുണ്ണമവാപകൽപദം മൈത്രേയവാചാം ഏതത്തേ വിഹിതം സർവം യൽപൃഷ്ടോഹമിഹത്വയാ ധ്രുവസ്യോദ്ധാമേശ സംശയസ ധ്രുവസ്യോദ്ധാമേശ സച്ചരിതം സമദം സദാം ധാന്യം യശസ്യമായ നിശം പുണ്യം സസ്തേനം മഹൽ സ്വർഗം ദ്രൗവ്യം സോമനസ്യം ശശമഹർഷണം ശുക്തേ നക്ഷത്രയാദീശം അച്യുത പ്രേയദേശിതം ഭവേദ मनस्विनाम प्रयनकृते अल्पादसमवाये द्विजन्मनाम सायं जपुनिशोगस्य ध्रुवसेरिदं महल् पौर्णमास्यां श्रीनिवाल्यं द्वादश्यां श्रवणे नवा दिनक्षये दीपालये संक्रमे अर्कदिने विवा श्रावयेन श्रद्धानानां तीर्थवादपदाश्रय नेचं तत्रात्मनात्मानं सन्तुष्टमे सिद्ध्यति ज्ञानमज्ञानमज्ञातत्वाय एवदद्यासल्पदे मदं कृपालोर्दीननादस्य देवास्तस्यानुगृह्णते इदं मयादि विहितं गुरुद्वः ध्रुवस्य विख्यात विशुद्धकर्मणा हित्वार्भग क्रीडनगमानि मातो गृहं च विष्णुं शरणं योजयामाम् इति श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे संस्कृतस्कन्धे ध्रुवचरितं नाम द्वादशोऽध्यायः.
So that is where Dromayaj's story finishes, and in that same dynasty of King Dhruva, there was a king who appeared much later. Many kings appeared, but their histories are not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The reason being that because of the shortage of time, in that 7 days' time, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to give all what was possible for him, also that therefore he has picked up only those important incidents in the creation while talking to Parishad Maharaj. What we have to remember is that this whole first canto onwards, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth canto, right up to sixth canto, all this is happening in the first day of the creation. That is first day of Lord Brahma. In that Lord Brahma's first day, in the first Manu, which is Swayambhu Manu, in his first day, all these things are happening. So, in other words, when you refer to, in terms of Swayambhu Manu's lifetime, this is one small period of time in the whole history, whole creation. Therefore, in the from time immemorial, it goes back, dates back into millions of years, and it is from there that Vedavyasa Maharshi has taken this form of the right up to the sixth canto. The stories are all from the first day of Swayambhu Manu's life. So, in this dynasty, Anga appeared, and King Anga married a lady by name Sunita. Sunita was his wife, so Anga married Sunita. And for a long time, they didn't have children. They didn't have any children. Now, for Kshatriya kings, there is a difference. Unlike in the normal family life also, if you have no children, family life is not very pleasant, because ultimately family life is meant for prajaye grihamedhinam. Married life is only for procreation, for having children. That is what Brahma's instruction says. Prajaye grihamedhinam. That is the purpose of married life. Otherwise, not for some clarification, but with the purpose of establishing one's own religious life, that human society has this system of marriage and procreation, of having children. So, but in the normal family life, when there is children are not there, when children were not born, generally the parents take to worship of different deities for getting their mercy to have a child. So that's what's normally done. But in the king's case, in Kshatriya king's case, there is another side to it as well. Because for them, normally children are required to perform the Shraddha ceremony. As we said before, that when the living entity leaves this material body and goes into the different planetary systems in its journey, looking for an ultimate destination, before it moves from the Prayataloka to the Pitraloka or to the Yamaloka, depending on his activities in this world, Shraddha ceremony has to be performed by his descendants, by the son and the later on by the grandson. So this is the purpose of having this procreation and the children, and the purpose of performing Shraddha ceremony is also there. But at the same time, although this is the purpose in normal, ordinary people's life, in the Kshatriya king's case, they have another problem. Because when the monarchy was prevalent in this planet, generally the kingdom passed on from father to son.
So if there were no issues, there were no children born, or princes were there in the family, the kings had a problem because they had to find somebody who could take over the administration after their departure. Now that was their responsibility to make sure that there is someone who has been trained up in the ruling of the planet or ruling of his kingdom. So that was essential. And for that, when there were no children, the kings were very much worried about it. They were perturbed by that, and they will perform anything that was required to have a child born from the family tree. And the monarchy system was so good that when these kings ruled the planet, they trained their children in the Vedic principles, and the result was that they never transgressed the laws of the Vedas. Or in other words, Vedic injunctions were followed very strictly by these great emperors. So here what we find is, Anga married Sunidha, and Anga had no children. And Anga was very much concerned about it. They did everything they can to have children, but no children were born. So eventually, Anga and Sunidha discussed this matter with the ministers and all the other great brahmanas who were present in their assembly. And with their consent, it was decided that they will perform a sacrifice known as Putragameshti. Putragameshti is a sacrifice which is performed with the intention of having children. So that is the purpose of Putragameshti. So this Putragameshti sacrifice was planned by Anga and along with Sunidha. So Anga's position is in the sacrifice is what is known as Yajamanan. Yajaman means he is actually the person who is supporting or is financing the whole sacrifice. And in the sacrifice, there are four people who sit on the four sides of the fire. And these four personalities, they will be assisted by another four people, each one of them. So you can imagine that in these big, big sacrifices, there were something like 16, 20 people who are involved in performing the sacrifices. And these sacrifices are different than the type of sacrifices what we perform in the temples and in different places nowadays. Because to perform such sacrifices requires tremendous knowledge of the Shastra and also very well trained in reciting the mantras. And that is very essential. And today, unfortunately, that part of the Vedic culture has shrunk heavily, and there's only very few families, even in India, who can perform sacrifices very effectively. There are very few people, very few families all over India who is capable of performing these sacrifices in the prescribed way. So anyway, we will see that those four personalities sit around the four sides of the fire, Udghava, Advairi, Brahman and Hotav. That is how they are designated. And they have four different functions also. And when you understand these sacrifices, how they are performed, and the mantras that are chanted in the sacrifices, and the results when it develops from that, when it is performed properly, automatically one will get very attached to sacrifices. This is the nature of this Karmakanda section. Karmakanda is not something which you can write off easily. There is a lot of things in Karmakanda, and even to very recent times, these sacrifices were performed and the results were proven and shown to the public that it is a fact of life that Vedic sacrifices has a tremendous influence on the events that happens in this planet. Some time ago, when Srila Prabhupada was here, and somewhere around 1974, you will read in the books, there were correspondence Prabhupada had with one professor in America, in Berkeley. His name was Stoll, Dr. Stoll. Dr. Stoll was very much a Karmakandi. He was a professor of Indology in Berkeley. He came to Benares and learned a lot of things about these Vedic sacrifices. So after learning Vedic sacrifices, he went back to America, and then at the same time when Prabhupada was reaching Krishna consciousness in America. So naturally out of curiosity, Dr. Stoll was interested in corresponding with Srila Prabhupada. And in their correspondence you will read a lot of things. You can see how a person attached to Karmakandam and attached to Jnanakandam will act different than a devotee. So he was trying to put across the point to Srila Prabhupada that it is necessary, Karmakanda section is necessary, and that has a tremendous influence in the society if it is followed properly. Prabhupada didn't refuse, deny that, but on the other hand, Prabhupada was trying to point out to Dr. Stoll, I believe he's still there in America, that Dr. Stoll, that the Krishna consciousness, science of Krishna consciousness is liberating. It is free from one's material existence. Whereas Karmagandam has, and Yanagandam also, has to some degree of a binding nature to this material world. And everyone is not qualified to perform this Karmaganda side also. But Dr. Stoll, later on, we read in the newspaper that he came to India and then he wanted to test the reality of these sacrifices. So he found certain families who could do this, and with their help, he performed a sacrifice known as Adhiratram. Adhiratram lasted something like about 60 days or so. It lasted a long time, 60 days of sacrifice, you can imagine, starting from early hours in the morning to late in the evening. They get a few hours rest in the night. Apart from that, the whole day the fire is burning, ghee is pouring in, and mantras are chanted along with the same time. But to prepare for that, these families have to go through such severe austerities and penances, both the person who is performing it and his wife as well. So they all have tremendous response. And if anything goes wrong, some death happens in their family, immediately they have to cancel the whole thing because of the impurities, that contamination time that is involved in that. So all these things are there. And Dr. Stoll wanted to prove that Adhiratram is performed when there is shortage of rain. So in one instance, when there was no rain for days to go, they selected the right time in the summer when there was no rain possibility. Dr. Stoll paid for the whole expenses, running to lakhs of rupees for this, and he performed this sacrifice with the help of these few brahmanas. And at the end of the sacrifice, when the sky was extremely fully clear without any clouds there, and at the end, just after a while when the sacrifice starts, the person who is in charge of the sacrifice, in other words, who actually directs the sacrifice, he gets messages from the demigods directly in the sacrifice itself, that on such and such a date the sacrifice will come into its final result. So accordingly, he predicted in advance, on such and such a day, the rain will come. And Dr. Stoll, he had brought a lot of scientists and technicians from the United States to witness this. And they brought cameras with them, and they wanted to see what changes were happening in the nature when this sacrifice was going on. Because they were actually testing the power of the Vedic mantras. So at the end of that, the chief who advised him that the rain is likely to happen on this and this date, Stoll was very excited. And on a clear that day, when the sky was so clear, and at the end of it, when the end of the sacrifice, what they do is, this is thatched roof they make for the sacrifice, and they light fire to the whole building at the end. And that is why. And as soon as this was done, immediately it started pouring with rain, the whole place. And Stoll was so excited, he went on with the video camera, photographing the whole thing. And he was so excited, he wrote several articles in the Indian newspapers about this. This happened in 1975-76 time. And since then, people have little understanding that these sacrifices do work. And if it is done properly, it will have its desired result also. And because it is giving results, people have an attachment to sacrifices. And these sacrifices require tremendous energy and tremendous capacity, ability also. Krishna is also fond of these sacrifices. Therefore, Krishna is also arranged in such a way, in several big temples, on a particular day in a year, it is their day, these brahmanas who perform these sacrifices. And many devotees who go to the temple on that day, they offer a certain amount of money to the brahmanas who perform this. They are not devotees, but they are personalities who have absolutely trained in the Vedic way of life. In other words, they performed so many sacrifices in their life, and that alone requires a lot of energy and a lot of training before they can become successful in that. So it was one of those sacrifices known as Putrayameshti, what was performed by King Anga. So Anga and Sunita, they wanted this to perform, and the result was that they wanted the result from there to have a son. This was the whole purpose behind it. If you hear this story, there is some comparison between this and Ramayana. That is another interesting thing. In Ramayana also it's like this. Dasharatha Maharaj didn't have any children. So he decided to perform Putrakameshti sacrifice. And from that sacrifice somebody came out with the what is known as Purodasham. and then came out and gave that to Dasharatha Maharaj, and who distributed that to Kausalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra, and then they became pregnant. Lord Ramchandra, Lakshmana and others were born from that. So up to this point, this story of King Vena and Dasharatha Maharaj's story is very much similar. Only difference is, after the birth of the child, one side we had Lord Ramchandra and the other side we had King Vena. That was the only difference. And that difference was big enough, big difference in the two personalities. So anyway, what happened was that and this sacrifice began. So after the sacrifice has begun, that the four brahmanas who were sitting around the fire, they were offering the havis into the fire. Ahuri, it is called as Ahuri also. So when they are offering, the brahmanas will know whether the demigods are receiving it or not. They can find out that. That is their ability. This is come from the Vedic system, is like that. That they are supposed to come and receive the offering when it's being offered to them. That is the special nature of the sacrifices. So the brahmanas were offering, but the demigods were not coming for the sacrifice. They didn't turn up. So after a while, the brahmanas started getting concerned about it. They were making the offering, but nothing was being acknowledged by the demigods. So what they did, they reported this matter to the king, to Anga, and told Anga that there is no response from the demigods in the sacrifice. So Anga got concerned. Anga said to them that if there is no response, there must be a reason behind it. Because generally, there are three or four things that can go wrong in a sacrifice. One is that the havis, what you are offering, must be impure. It must have gone impure. Either because sometimes, generally in the Vedic system, these things are very particular, that the purity of the what you make the offering. Today, that is the biggest difficulty. In big temples are suffering to get pure milk, pure ghee, pure yogurt. Everything is problem for them. So they normally, these days, they maintain their own goshala, their own plants, their own trees, so that impure substance don't come into their deity worship, in the temple worship. Because once you get impure substances, like today we have to take water from the pipe. The pipe water is already, they say it is pure. That's what they say. But we know how pure that water is. Somebody was telling that it is the recycled excretia that is coming out through the pipe as in the big cities. Because of the recycling, we call it as pure. And apart from contamination from chlorine, even there are so many other things we have to understand that this is not pure in the true sense, from the natural way, it's not pure. So anyway, in the case of the sacrifice also, the same problem was suspected by the brahmanas, that is the havis that was offered was not pure enough. That's number one. Number two, the second thing that came to their mind was, has anything gone wrong while chanting the mantras, which is also another possibility. Because if anything, a slight change in the chanting of these Vedic mantras, the result could be disastrous sometime, or even, that is why the training starts from the early years in life itself. Sometime like 3-4 years old, they are pushed into this Gurukulam, and they have been trained day and night in perfectly chanting the mantras. Otherwise, these mantras won't have its effect also. So that is why all the Vedic mantras, it requires tremendous sacrifice in one's life. And it was the responsibility of the brahmanas to spend their life in doing this. And by chanting these mantras, that this material world is, this planet is maintained. It is the power of these mantras that keeps this world going. And that is why the Vedic system is so good, that simply by chanting the mantras, the necessary purification goes on in this world, because majority of the living entities in this planet engages in sinful life. And if you consider all these sinful reactions together, how much material nature should react to us and push us into misery and distress is unbelievable. But therefore, the Vedic system is that one chants these mantras, the brahmanas are trained to chant these mantras from the early days, and their life is meant for chanting these Vedic mantras. Therefore, different Vedas and Vedic mantras are existing. So, this doubt came to the brahmana's mind. Have we chanted anything, something wrongly, while we were performing this sacrifice? Automatically, this was another doubt in their mind. A third thing that came to the mind was, even while offering the havis into the fire, there is a way of offering. Not that we can offer simply just throw it, ghee into the fire, as in left hand or right hand, whichever hand you like, and whichever way you like. No, there is certain procedures for all these things. And there is very, very scientific way. All this is there in the books also. So there are mudras and there are ways of doing that mudras and to be properly trained, all that. So has something gone wrong there? That is known as kriya. Kriya means the way it is done, the physical action behind it. So has anything gone wrong there? So these are three possibilities that could have gone wrong in the sacrifice. So the brahmanas mentioned this to the king, and king said something must have gone wrong in one of these three. That could be the only reason why the demigods are not coming in the sacrifice. So brahmanas were saying, insisting that everything was done properly. Nothing has gone wrong. As far as they are concerned, they looked after everything. If you read Mahabharata, you will see this story in the beginning itself. When Janamejaya's sacrifice started, one dog came there. You will see, Mahabharata starts with the story of a dog and ends with the story of the same dog at the end. You can see that in Mahabharata. If you begin, Sarama, the demigod, the this dog came, and what did the dog do? In the sacrifice, there were so many things kept there for offering, and the dog had a look at it. Just looking at that was, it has become impure. They had to change everything. It was that because the food that's being offered, or anything that is offered to the demigods and all, has to be kept in a very, very top class purity. It cannot be handled in an impure way. So in Mahabharata, you will see these references in different sacrifices, how it was made impure just by a dog looking at it. As soon as the dog looked at it, all the people who are there, they beat him heavily and sent him away from there. Unfortunately, the dog who left that scene, the dog's mother lived in the heavenly planet. And that dog came out and started asking from why he was beaten. And she started questioning them. Sarama was her name. And she started questioning why my son was beaten. So he has not even looked at your Kurodasham. Because he knew, in this, the heavenly planet, being in the heavenly planet, she knew that that was considered to be a offensive thing to do. So anyhow, this is what happened. So the brahmanas who were present there, they told king Anga that everything has been done properly and there is no reason to worry about it. So Anga discussed with his ministers. And ministers told the brahmanas that you have to invoke these demigods in a different way. Rather than invoking them to accept the Puradasham from this sacrifice, invoke them and ask them why it has happened like this. So the brahmanas were extremely expert in these things. They managed to chant the mantras and demigods started appearing one after the other. When they came, for example, in the sacrifice, if you say Indraya Swaha, as soon as you offer, Indra should come. Otherwise, that Swaha has no meaning. It's just meaningless. Similarly, all the other demigods also, they all have an offering mentioned in the sacrifice to be acceptable. Indraya Swaha means Indra has to come. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. So these brahmanas, they chanted to a different mantras they chanted and they invoked the demigods to come. But they didn't come to accept the sacrifice offering. They came and brahmanas put forward this question to the demigods and asked them, why is it that you are not present coming to accepting our offering? This was the question brahmanas asked them. When the brahmanas asked this question, the demigods replied that you are offering this to us with one intention. The intention is the king wants to have a son. But we know this king's background. Whole karma is known to us. How sinful this person was before. And the result is, for another 7 lifetimes, he is not qualified to have a child. That is his misfortune. And we can't do anything about it, because once we accept your offering, then we have to give him a son. So that becomes unbearable for us. And we can't do that, so we are not accepting because of this reason. So this issue became more critical in the kingdom. And the king was in a lamenting that he couldn't have a child, and the whole, what is going to happen to the planet, because those emperors rule the whole planet, and that means anarchy situation will develop, which is not the situation these kings wanted, because when they rule the planet, they rule it properly. Not like the way today, whether there is government or no government, makes no difference really. In real terms, how much protection is there for the people? There is no protection in reality. And if something goes wrong, you are totally helpless about it. You go and report about it, something may happen, may not happen. And it is a very different state of affairs. That's what we have to understand. That these kings, when they rule on an absolute level. In other words, you could expect protection from them in all circumstances. That was the beauty of their administration. And they were absolute. That is why Swaraj, the word is used in the Bhagavatam. In the beginning itself, the word Swaraj is used. Swaraj is independent. They are not dependent on your votes and my vote. They can rule on their own. Because they were trained in that system so nicely. And their qualities were so superior to us that they cannot go wrong in their administration. They were not corrupt. They were not influenced by the lower modes of nature. They based on the advice of the Brahmanas, which will all come later on in the Bhagavatam. At different places this keeps coming. That these kings ruled like that, and they were able to present, offer an administration to the people, they felt protected under him. Not only they felt protected, they felt happiness also that the king made them responsible, that human life was meant for spiritual activities. So that's how they were trained. Anyway, in this case, what has happened was that the ministers discussed the matter. Between themselves, they discussed this issue. So eventually, ministers came to one conclusion. What is best thing to do? Is it better to have no children or is to have some child at least to take over the administration? So they were very clever, the ministers. As usual, ministers have to be always clever, isn't it? Otherwise they are not ministers, because that's what keeps them going in their life. They have to be always smart to find an answer for anything. For anything they have an answer. So these ministers also did the same thing. They told the Brahmanas, please tell the demigods in this way, that if they can't give us a child, if that stops them from doing, it is due to his sinful reactions. Let them make all their sinful reactions together and give us a child, manifest that in the form of a child to us. We are willing to accept that child if he comes to us in the form of a sinful reaction. Demigods heard this and they laughed to each other. They said that you are inviting more distress than what you already have. This was their words at that time. It says in the Bhagavatam very clearly that the demigods responded like this, says to the Brahmanas, that this child who is going to take, but we will give you what you want, because after all, he has got sinful plenty in storage there. We all have, don't think that we don't have, we also have. But the king had plenty in storage. And the whole story, this is the power of the Vedic mantras, that something which is a concept, through mantra, you can convert into matter. In the history you will find so many instances this has happened. A spiritual master was sick, a disciple was to take over that sickness from the spiritual master into his own body. He was able to do that. Karma vibhagam it is known as, in the Shastra it is karma vibhagam prakshitam, so many things. And they were capable of doing these things. And these Brahmanas were such experts in these things. They told the demigods, that give us a child, even if he represents all the sinful reactions of King Anga, for all the, so that at least let him have somebody to take over the kingdom. The demigods agreed, and the result was that a child was born. So this child was born. He has also some peculiarity, nature in this child, Vena. Vena was his name. He was given the name Vena. Anga and Sunila were extremely blissful. Oh, now we have got a son. And they thought, anyway, he's going to be, they are saying that he's going to be troublesome later on. But that is afterwards, isn't it? At least right now we are happy, we have got a son. But this child has some peculiar nature. Actually, to talk about this child is a bit frightening also, because there is a close relationship between us and him. And that's why. So, this Vena appeared, and this, after first few months itself, he started showing some symptoms of his cruelty. When the baby was lying down, if some ant or anything goes through, he called him and killed the ant straight away. To such an extent, he was interested in killing others. This was in his nature, in the very beginning. But king thought, after all, it's a baby, and up to 12 years, whatever sinful activities they perform, it goes to the parents, not to the child. So the parents thought that in course of time, he will get better, and he will come out nicely, and all these hopes. And Anga Maharaj was enjoying his beautiful householder life happily with the family and the child. And eventually it so happened that the child grew up and he started showing his true colors at that time. And Vena was becoming a headache to everybody. He was playing with the other children. The way he used to play was not like the other children. He used to get all the children together and he'd say, we'll start a new game today. And he'll tell all the children to stand around the well And there is another. Suddenly, without, before anyone knows anything, you push one into the well straight away and kill him there in the water. So drowning, and he will laugh at it, enjoying this, the death of another child. So all the brahmanas and all the sages who have advised and helped the king in this matter, they got very perturbed after seeing this. Now, why we are saying that this is very worrying is that all the characters in the Bhagavatam, these are personalities who come to us, and they all represent some of our nature also, some nature in us. Today, we may say that, oh, that is Vena. Vena may do like that, I won't do like that, we don't do like that. That's the way we think about it. But it is not true, because if you want to see the true color of our nature, we have to be put into that situation. Only then we will realize. Sometimes, when a war happens, if you have seen how much human nature can change, how harsh we can be to each other, if it suits us, our particular circumstances. Although we say that it is struggle for existence and all that, the struggle for existence can go to such a depth that we will not be hesitant to do anything at that time, if it comes to our own self-preservation. We may do anything. And that is what is all the world wars, everything proves that, again and again. That whether it was in the recent times or the earlier times also, during the historic times, it's been known that in certain circumstances, when you are pushed into situations like that, we can be as good as Vena in these things. We can't be much different. Now, somehow or the other, due to fear of police or due to fear of the society, that qualities in us is not manifesting. That's the only difference. But it is there. That is very much there in us. As much as Vena has, that quality is within us also. But due to certain reasons, exceptional reasons, it's not coming out. It is staying there. So that is why it is worrying, because sometimes we think that we are okay. But actually we are not okay. Sometimes you can see in this world, so many people are there who enjoy when another living entity is suffering. They watch that and they enjoy that. And they get great happiness out of it also. And that is why some of the sports and games in this world actually gives a lot of pleasure to people. For no reason, they torture another living entity. And seeing that living entity suffering in its death and trying, struggling with that material body, when they see that, they get pleasure out of it. So where is Vena now? Is that Vena there in anger, or is he still around here? Is he somewhere else, or is he within us, or is he within ourselves, each of us? So this quality of seeing another living entity suffering and getting pressure from that is very much in the human society. And that is why this Vena is a character who is coming and telling us this is how it could be. It can go to that situation even within us. And that is why even today, if you look in the society, you will find most of the news that is reported in the newspaper is the distress of so many people. And why every morning when you travel, you see in the train, newspapers are getting sold every second, so hundreds of them. And people are taking it and reading it in the Brahma Muhurt time itself, very peacefully they are situated. Why? They are deriving some pleasure out of it, seeing the distress of somebody somewhere in the world. Although they can't help it, they can't help it. But they enjoy just leading the distress of so many others in this world in so many ways going through. So this is that Vena's nature. And it is that Vena mentality that is coming out all the time in different form. Whether it's newspaper or television or radio, what doesn't matter. The whole media itself is based on these principles. It is Vena's. Vena is actually the personality who have given food to this industry, this information industry or the communication industry. Anyway, so the story is that Vena has acted like this, brahmanas got very upset. The sages were much more upset. They were thinking that, what do we do now? King Anga was getting concerned, because as soon as he grew up, his activities become much more independent. Not only independent, he started acting very rude to his own father. Anga, and there are some verses in the Bhagavatam, Anga is talking about his own householder life. He says, all I wanted all these years was to have a son. And I've got it. And now I had enough of it. He says this. With folded hands, he says in the Bhagavatam that anavatyam. Anavatyam means not having any issues. And now I have got one. And this is what I have got. And he's lamenting there. And the son started chastising the father regularly, on a regular basis. He felt that father is not acting properly, and he became more and more cruel and harsh to him. At the end, Anga thought to himself, this nothing suits me here in this world. And one day, without giving any notice to anybody, he walked out of the place. He went to the forest. That's how in the Bhagavatam says, he went to the forest without other people knowing anything about it. So when Anga went away to the forest, the place became an anarchy situation, because Anga did not hand over the power to Vena. And Vena was continuing his sinful activities without any concern for anybody else. So Vena did this, so immediately Vena started becoming more and more powerful. And at the same time, the sages thought about it, because they had a role in this. It is they who have actually invoked the sinful reactions to the king to come in this form of Vena. So now they felt that we have some responsibility towards this, so we should do something. So they all combined together, and they came to the palace to see King Vena. He is not king yet, to the Prince Vena. So they saw Prince Vena, and they told Vena that what you are doing, you have to stop. This is not right, what's happening here. And with Vena's administration, things have started going so bad. Vena started acting so ruthlessly to people and in the society. And not only, more than anything else, the wrong thing what he did was, he discouraged people from worshipping the Supreme Lord. This was the first thing what he did. According to him, there was no need to worship anybody. What is the purpose, he said? That I am here, presently in front of you, in fully manifested personal form, for you to worship. And you are worshipping somebody whom you are not seeing. Somebody says something exists. In other words, Vena was the first person who actually preached atheism in this world. In other words, that other people said that today also there are atheists who don't believe in any higher rule or higher authority or anything. But these atheists, there is one difference. The present atheists, they don't say that they are God. They say God doesn't exist, but then they don't know what else after exists. But they also say, they don't know anything more than that. They say, what we are saying is, they say God doesn't exist. There is no thing called God. But Vena has taken one step further. He said, not only that God doesn't exist, if ever somebody exists, it's me who is God. So one more step further, he has went ahead and told like this. And he encouraged people in religious activities and taken them away from Krishna consciousness. The result was that the sinful activity started showing its reactions in the very life of the people. There were shortages of food. There were so many diseases that developed in the kingdom. And the rain was a shortage. And so many things which were actually the symptom of the poor administration of bad quality. And the result was that King Vena started acting more and more harsh towards the people. So the sages came forward and they explained all these things to King Vena and told him that we want to make you the king because you are the direct, the successor of Anga. We are not going to look for Anga. But at the same time, you have to act in a responsible way. And they started talking to him to stay in Krishna consciousness and to act in a way, in a God conscious way. And they explained to him that behind everything in this material world, there is a law. And this law is controlled by somebody, and that is the Supreme Lord. And there is everything, nothing works in this world without his approval. He is behind everything. And they try to put forward everything in a logical way to Vena. And in Krishna's arrangement, all of us have been sent to this world with some different purpose. And there is a reason behind it. That like us, the sages told Vena, like us, the sages, we have been asked to perform austerities and penances because that is our dharma, in our words, in our duty to perform that. We have to do that. And in your position as Vena, the king, your duty is to run the administration according to the Vedic injunctions and not to deviate from that. And similarly, the Vaishyas, they have to perform their business and agriculture, and the Shudras who have to serve all the other three upper divisions. So Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the four divisions in the society, Varnashrama Dharma, was prevalent there at that time. And Vena, everything was spoken to Vena like this. But Vena has no ears to hear that these things. Vena's immediate reaction was that that he asked the sages, have you seen God? You say that he exists, and have you seen it? Now, this kind of argument, the usual arguments what the atheists put forward, the same came up that time also. So the sages tried to explain to him in the best possible way, thinking that it will help the situation, but Vena was not willing to listen to anything. And not only that, it came to such a level of the argument heated up to such a degree that Vena started offending these sages in a very ridiculing manner. He started speaking to them. So when he started speaking like this, one of them who were present there among those sages could not tolerate it anymore. He thought that it has gone too far. So all he said was, whom? That means, in other words, the word whom comes with that, oh, have we gone that far? That's all it meant by that word. And in the Bhagavatam it says there, hum hadam achudanindaya, that was enough for him. Vena dropped down dead on the very spot. It didn't take 1 second further. Vena was finished. So what caused this? That is the question we have to ask. Is that the word of the Brahmana? It has a lot of meaning behind it. In the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi didn't write this just to give us some story. No, it's not that. Hadam achudanindaya, that is the word Vedavyasa Maharshi has used. What has caused this? It has caused achudaninda. Achudaninda means speaking offensively about Krishna. That is what happens. We may think that we can say anything about Krishna and get away with it. But it can happen that Vena's story is telling us, hadam achudanindaya, achudaninda, if you insult, speaking about Krishna insulting way, even if your horoscope says that you have a lifespan of 100 years, the horoscope may not fulfill its whole span. Before that, the whole thing can finish on the spot itself. It doesn't take so long. So that is achudaninda. Achudaninda means to speak ill of Krishna. To speak, not only that, you do not accept Krishna's authority. Not only that, you do not understand who Krishna is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Great authorities in the Vedic tradition, they have surrendered to Krishna and took Krishna's shelter, knowing very well who Krishna is. And if we go on speaking all the time, insulting Krishna, and all the time ridiculing and criticizing Krishna, it may not take very long time, even if in the horoscope it mentions 100 years life is written down there. Hadam achudanindaya, that is how Bhagavan says. So from this you can understand there is something else also. If you speak offensively against Krishna all the time, or criticize Krishna who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord, if you question that, on the other hand, if you glorify Krishna, what will happen? That also you have to see. If you criticize one side, the lifespan can reduce. But if you want to have a longer lifetime in this world, the best thing is to glorify Krishna all the time. And that is the answer to that. And there are devotees in the history who have done this. And that is the important story. That people who are almost dead, that they knew that their life is over in this world, no medicine, no doctor, nothing, nobody could save them, they went to Krishna and they surrendered to Krishna in such a nice way and glorified him. The result was that they lived a life of complete purity for a very, very long time. They were given a lifespan. So it works both ways. Hadam achudanindaya, that if you insult Krishna, you get one result. You glorify Krishna, you get the opposite also. So both sides can happen. So in this way, the Brahmanas spoke like this, and Vena dropped dead there. And the sages left the place and went away. They were disgusted with the whole scene. And when Vena died, his mother Sunidha took his body and, not knowing what to do, preserved that in oil. Kept it in the oil and kept it for so that they could maintain that body, thinking that the sages have to come up with answer. And as soon as Vena died, immediately the situation, the kingdom again changed. The people started acting because it was a complete anarchy situation. And the thieves and the dacoits, they start becoming free, they felt freedom to do what they want to do. and they started acting in an independent way. And similarly, people have already come to the level of animals because they were prevented from doing their temple worship, and all Krishna consciousness activities have stopped. Religious activities were not there. So people have already come to the level of animals. And all these things have happened, and the sages became again very much concerned. Now what do we do? This question came up. So the sages, this is the power of the Brahmanas. The Brahminical culture is such that their concern is always for the society, not for themselves. And when this element is missing in the society, you can see what happens also. When the Brahminical influence is there in the society, because they act so selflessly, the selfishness is not the motive behind it. If you understand the Brahminical culture, you can see that that sacrifice, Krishna rewards them. Krishna rewards them how? You will see in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says this. Why he? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hidayaja, Jagadhiraya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Nama. Why Krishna is so dear to Brahmanas and the cows? It is for this reason that Brahmanas uphold Vedic principles. They execute the Vedic injunctions properly, and when they do that, Krishna is pleased with them. And in this particular instance also, these sages, mainly Brahmanas, they were concerned about the people's future. So they came back again when they thought about this. And they said they have to do something. They went back to Sunida, the mother, and asked her if she has preserved the body. And Sunida brought his body straight away from the palace. As they bathed the body, and after bathing the body, Brahmanas decided to churn that body. And when they started churning the body, they knew what is this body of Vena. Vena's body is nothing but spiritual. In the karmic sense, it is basically the sinful reaction of anger. So in other words, that body is not pure enough. It is completely impure. The body is full of sinful reactions of anger lying there in a gross form. That's what that is. So so the sages decided, the saintly people decided, first we have to get that out of that body. That saintly, the sinful activities which are situated in that, and invite the Supreme Lord to come and occupy in that body. So when they started churning, from that body appeared a certain personalities. And their description is given in the Bhagavatam. They were short, their eyes were a little strange, and their hair was also very short. And looking at them, immediately the saintly Brahmanas realized that they are those sinful reactions that has come out from the body in the form of persons. So they asked, what should we do? Nishada, they said to them. And that is how the race Nishadas have come into this world. And they were expected to live in the forest and engage in the forest way of life. In other words, they had no samskars or purificatory ceremonies in their life. In addition to that, their life is sinful in that sense. So that race came from that time onwards. Nishadas came out from that race. Now, if that Nishada race is so bad, doesn't mean that everything is wrong with that race also. There are some great, great personalities who appeared in that race. That's also important to know. If just because a race has been condemned because of its activities in this world, that doesn't mean that sometimes such a race can also produce sometimes personalities with great capacity. Who else is that? That is Valmiki. Valmiki was born in that race, in Nishada's race. And Valmiki, why he had to accept that body in the Nishada race, that is another story behind it. That Valmiki in his previous life, he compiled Ramayana, but in his previous life he was a Brahmana boy. And as a Brahmana boy, he was living in the ashram of a great sage. And this sage has trained him up nicely. As a young Brahmana boy, he was trained up nicely. But some point in time, one day, the muni, as he was referred, he had to go away due to some commitment somewhere. He was away from the ashram. So this Brahmana little boy, he was at the ashram. At that time, another Brahmana came to that ashram. And this Brahmana has performed something sinful. So he came to ask to this sage here in the ashram. That means the spiritual master of this Brahmana boy, that what should be the atonement I should perform for the sinful activity. By mistake in his dealings, a cow was killed. So he wanted to escape from the sinful reaction of killing a cow. So Brahmana came here to ask for that. When he came here, the sage wasn't there. And Valmiki, who was a Brahmana boy then, he was present there. So he asked the Valmiki that where is the sage today? So Valmiki said that, well, I don't know what his name was at that time. We call him Valmiki because that was his name later on. So he said that the sage is gone away somewhere due to some urgent business. What was the reason of your coming here? So Brahmana said, no, I want to ask the sage. No, there is no need to ask the sage. You can ask me, I will tell you, because I have been with the sage for so long. And sage has trained me up in so many things. So he said to him, I had by mistake killed a cow. And now what should I do to get out of the reactions, the sinful reaction from this? That is not a problem, he said. Valmiki said to him, the Brahmana boy in that Valmiki said to him, just chant 4 times the holy name of Lord Ramchandra. That's enough. 4 times Rama, 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 Rama. If you say, you will be okay, he said. Brahmana accordingly went back to his ashram, to his home. And he chanted the 4 times Rama, because that was that's what was required, and he did that. When the sage came back to his ashram, by his jnana drishti means that these sages were powerful people, that they could see things happening even in their absence, what was happening in their ashram and in so many other planets. They have developed that power. Due to their spiritual strength, they were able to do that. So when he came back, he knew what has happened. But still, out of interest, he asked Valmiki, the Brahmana boy, that has anybody come here when I was away? The Brahmana boy said, yes, there was someone here. So why did he come for? He came here and he said that he had some questions to ask you. So what did you tell him? He said, I told him that you can ask me and I can tell you what the answer is. So what was the question, he said? So he said, he has killed a cow and he wanted to know what should be done. So what did you tell him? He said, I just told him that you told me before that you just have to chant the holy name of Lord Ramchandra. And I've told him you chant this holy name 4 times and that will clear you from the reaction of that. The sage immediately told this Brahmana boy that I am not satisfied with your answer. You shouldn't have given that answer like that. Who told you that you have to chant 4 times the holy name to wipe that sinful action? He said, that means your faith in the name of Lord Ramchandra is also so poor that it was enough if you had chanted only once, not even 4 times, he said. So when he said that, Valmiki realized that something is coming, that he is not happy with him. He said to him, take the birth in the hunter's family, in the Mishada family. And that is why Valmiki had to come and accept this body in the Mishada family and Mishada race. And then by Narada Muni's grace and Krishna's grace, he was able to get back to that. That is why you can see that Purva Samskara has not left him. Although he was in the Mishada body, still the samskar was coming back from the past. That as soon as when he saw that 2 birds were in the Ramayana begins with 1 verse, the whole thing starts from one verse. And that verse automatically came out from Valmiki as soon as he saw the hunter shot the arrow onto 1 bird and the other bird started crying from that. So that is the story of the Valmiki. Anyway, why we are saying that Mishada race is also not something you have to think very lowly, but in the sense that this can happen in life, that Nishada rays were born, and after that the sages who were present there, they started churning the body again, and at this time they were invoking the Supreme Lord to come. The sages were praying to the Supreme Lord to manifest, and accordingly Prudhu Maharaj appeared along with Archis, his wife. So Prudhu Maharaj is Mahavishnu himself came, and Archis is Mahalakshmi. They both appeared from the thighs of this body which was left behind, because all the sinful reactions have by now gone away and the Supreme Lord has come down there. And from now on, in the Bhagavadam, 9 chapters from now on is Prithu Charitam, or the story of Prithu Maharaj. And in these 9 chapters, you will see what all happened in this planet in this Satyuga times, and how important it is the administration has answerable everything to Krishna. Because normally, because we have not experienced what a good administration is, or what we have got is our democracy and the political parties. So we don't know really what is a good administration. We are satisfied if income tax is cut by 1p or it is put up by 1p. That's our maximum understanding of the government. It finishes there. Then there is about NHS and education and defense, three things. There's nothing else government has to do. Everything finishes there with the government. This is our understanding. But that is not Satyayuga people who are thinking of a government. Their understanding of government was, is the government helping us in our spiritual life to go back to the spiritual world? So it is a completely different world what we live in today and the world they lived. And their understanding of life and the higher values of life, what existed then doesn't exist today. So sometimes it becomes a story to us. Why? For us, the reality is this world, what goes on today. 1p income tax deduction and NHS and the education and nothing, no other serious issues in life. If these three things work, NHS, education and the defense works okay, everything is perfect in this world. All other problems are resolved with that. But that was not the problem in Satyayugam. Satyayugam problems were different. So they were more intelligent in the sense that the government was able to make them understand that human life has a higher purpose. It's not just maintaining a material body in this world, that all other living entities also have God. So we dwell in the Bhagavatam in the beginning itself, Vedavyasa is putting this strong point very, very powerfully. Shovidvara hoshtragare samstuda purishapashu nayalkarnagadhovedam chadunamagadagrajaha. That Vedavyasa is saying that Shovidvara hoshtragare, hawks, dogs, camels and asses, he says. And that is, he's talking about us only, nobody else. He's categorized into these four groups and saying that this is what you are. Openly telling us in the beginning, and we are glorifying Bhagavatam every day, saying that this is the best book. Why? Because it's telling the truth to us. Is there any difference between hogs, dogs, camels and asses? It says in the Bhagavatam. That he is thinking that he is very civilized and cultured. But as far as consciousness is concerned, we fall into these four categories. Nothing much different than that. Srila Prabhupada used to explain these words in detail for one reason and one reason only. That we are very proud of our education, modern education. And he wanted to tell us, your so-called modern education is nothing but a totally useless thing as far as the spiritualized side is concerned. It's not giving any knowledge of the spiritual life, nor you have any understanding what you are, and still you are so proud of your education. He used to mention this very often. And if you analyze that verse, you will see that we fit into it very nicely also, because some of the things, how it's been compared, that we have no understanding that Krishna's holy name or spiritual master has given us this understanding from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is to make us realize that how stupid we are and how lack of intelligence in us to appreciate the values what has been given to us by the great sages which we are not able to appreciate. So we fall into these four categories. Why? Hawks, dogs, camels and asses. That's also interesting. It's nice to read and sometimes think about it. Which one is I am out of this four? That because if you don't think like that, you will never realize. Always you always think, I'm very educated, I'm very cultured, I have everything in mind. But we have nothing actually. As far as Bhagavatam is concerned, we have useless, totally useless. That's our position. So, Shovidvara hoshtagare, that hawks, dogs, camels and asses. Shava means dog. And why dog? That is, I think most of people know why we are concerned to be a dogish society. Because industrial society has only created this society. That's what it creates. Actually, people lose all their independence in industrial society because of the dependence on somebody else to maintain, being maintained by somebody. It's not a very pleasant situation. But when the materialistic consciousness and materialistic way of life increases, automatically, that's the type of life that will develop in the society. And with the advancement of a society like that, there is no possibility of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very difficult to appreciate what Bhagavatam is talking about. And all these personalities in the Bhagavatam is trying to tell us something far, far superior than just maintaining this material body and paying your bills. That's not what Bhagavatam is talking about. So, Shovidvara Hoshtagare, so that mentality will come if one lives a life like a shwab or a dog. And similarly, camels, asses, also they have their own problems. The camels are accepting the food while eating the thorny food. When they eat, the blood starts coming out from its own mouth. And when the blood, it is sucking inside along with the thorns. When the blood touches its tongue, it finds it very tasty. So similarly, we also do the same thing. So much distress in this material world we experience in our life. And we accepting this, while accepting this distress, we are still thinking, this life is not too bad. It's alright. I think we can live with it. You know, after all, I am living in a first world, not even the third world, so I should be alright. And so many facilities given to me. And things like that, so many illusions build up around that. So similarly, there are other examples given which are far more powerful, in the sense that it's given talking about that the vidvaraham means that the stool eating hog. And what we are experiencing in this material life is basically that is what it is. Vidvaraham's life is that. So and the asses is compared to, because we carry so much burden on us, and Prabhupada used to explain that generally for maintaining the material body, what we require is a very little food. And for that little food, the modern society is engaged in such hellish activities. Somebody is working in the North Sea, and in the North Sea where the waves are, at something like about 80 to 90 meters, the waves come. And they are standing there with their vessels to drill the oil from that, just to live in this world. He's doing that. But the illusion is so powerful, he's thinking that, oh, I have a good job, I'm getting paid very well. Why should I give up this job? 15 days I'm work, 15 days I'm back in the land, helicopter picks me up, puts me there. And some of the lifestyle, what the modern industrial society has offered to human society, is not very pleasant. It is something like what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also, in the late chapters, that Krishna says there, that human society will fall into such illusion, that they will engage themselves in such hellish activities. Krishna says in the 13th chapter that they will engage in such hellish activities, thinking that that is how they have to maintain themselves in this world. So, because they forget the real purpose of human life, the human life is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness. If you don't do that, all other things are simply waste. It goes into waste of time. So, in keeping this point in view, that we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that it has been spoken that the king's administration and king's responsibility are defined very clearly. Therefore, he has been given the name Naradeva. Naradeva means he considers that he accepts the responsibility of administration on behalf of the Supreme Lord. That is how his position is. Because he has accepted this position on behalf of the Supreme Lord, he has to administer the planet in the same way. That is the responsibility. Therefore, he is referred to as Naradeva. And if the people are engaged in spiritual activities, a part of that result also will go back to him, into his credit. And and that is how that administration works. So this is what happened. So Pridhu Maharaj appeared, and Pridhu Maharaj's administration and his life in this planet, his activities, his advancement in spiritual life, although he is the Supreme Lord, he manifested certain... He shown the administration to the remaining kings later on, and some of the things what he did, and later on the four Kumaras appeared giving instructions to King Prithu, and he leaving this planet. All these things comes in the remaining 9 chapters. So I will go into that later, but if there's any questions or comments, please.
I think the Vena's body, how it is possible to offer to Lord Vishnu the simple activities of the world,
and how they will appear from the world. Yes. The Brahmanas who have performed this, you have to have a little bit insight into the Vedic mantras. Vedic mantras have this capacity that everything what is required for maintaining the human society in this world is available in the Vedic mantras. Vedic mantras are capable of providing all that is required. In other words, it's not only purely karma, getting a result from the performing sacrifice. So the Brahmanas knew that you can convert the sinful reactions into a body. From the body, you can take the sinful reactions out from that body and purify that body. But if you take something from somewhere, you have to find a place for it somewhere else. So that is the rule that you can't change in. For example, when I think I mentioned this before, Then when one spiritual master, once he got sick, the disease has to be taken out from the spiritual master, because all the disciples together decided that we don't like to see him suffering like this, because if he lives some more time in this world, it's of great use to everybody, not only to the disciples, even to the whole human society, because he was so much a personality like that. But when he got sick, they decided that we will remove that sickness from him. We'll take it out of him. And there is no technology even today where you can say that I can take the disease from somebody else's body and I can take it to myself. But they had that technology. That's the power of Vedic mantras are so powerful, and it has such a vast area of coverage in everything. Brahmanas knew all these things, so they decided that they could take out these sinful reactions from their body and offer it to somebody, other living entities. And that's how Nishadas were born. Nishadas were given that. So similarly, when these sinful activities are taken out from the spiritual master also, one of the disciples decided that I will accept that, because he said, I am willing to suffer from this. Rather, let him live happily. So from this you can see, there were a different type of spiritual masters and disciples as well at some time in the history. So in the modern days, there is a lot of different type of spiritual masters, but in the whole Vedic tradition, the spiritual masters were like that. They were capable of doing things like that. And therefore, when they talk about the spiritual masters of those days, you can expect that their capacity was somewhat different than in the modern world. So like in the case of Vena also, this is what they did. They were able to take out that sinful activities from them, and in place of that, they were able to invoke the Supreme Lord, because there was nobody to rule the planet. So it has to be filled in. And in the Bhagavatam it is said that they invited the Supreme Lord to come and occupy that position and appear himself, because there is no continuity otherwise. And because it has come from Vena's body, that Priya Uttanapada's dynasty continued from then on. And then you see so many other kings appearing after that. And in the, this Prithu's story, King Prithu, is a very interesting story, because there is a lot of things it's teaching us. That although it is difficult to visualize all these things in our mind today because of our own experience in this world. After all, we all make decisions based on our experience in this world. And what we have experienced is all what we see today. But those who had and the knowledge of these things, how it was performed and how the administration was run in those days, you can see that it was practically possible. They could do things which is beyond our understanding. So then what happens next thing is we start doubting Bhagavatam. Is this all true? We start asking questions. Because what we know is only this system. And we think this is the only system that can exist. Nothing else is possible. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not like that. Bhagavatam has been existing for 5,000 years at least in this planet. And in this 5,000 years, several great, great personalities have taken Srimad Bhagavatam. And not only they have taken Srimad Bhagavatam, using Srimad Bhagavatam as a vehicle, they have gone back to the spiritual world. That's why? Because Bhagavatam is Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Pratyaksha Krishna.
So is it just because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya?
Mahamantra does not belong to that category of mantras. These mantras, what we are talking about, is the mantras in the Vedas which requires training. But chanting Hare Krishna doesn't need that training. This is the beauty. Chanting Hare Krishna goes by the only potency, it is Krishna's name. That's why the strength behind it. That when Gargamuni named Krishna, and Balaram, it is said there that what name should I give it to him? He asked that question. What should I give this boy a name? Because in Gargamuni's mind, he knew whom he was going to give the name. And he was thinking about it. And from inside, Krishna gave this inspiration to him to give the name as Krishna. And that is how it is mentioned. So when he gave the name, he knew that this name has a lot of potency in it. It is not like any other ordinary name. And therefore, like this morning we are talking about, that even Lord Kapila said in the third canto itself, and that time he mentioned that Yajikhwagre Vartade Namadubhyam on whose tongue this holy name survives, stays, that person has no more necessity to study any of this Vedic literature. There is no need to go into that. Why we are discussing this is because in the Bhagavatam it appears here in the fourth canto that this is the history is like this. But that does not mean that today what we are doing is not valid. It is as much valid as what they did at that time. Today we don't have that life, but at the same time, Krishna's grace and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace, we have the holy name, and Rupa Goswami's grace, we have the holy name. And for today's conditions, because we are in this helpless situation, nor we have spiritual strength to practice anything different than this, the process of chanting the holy name has come into effect. And that's what. And this is the prescribed process for this time. Because knowing, if you are giving medicine to a patient, you have to know the patient's situation and accordingly prescribe the medicine. So in the same way, the holy name is prescribed for this time in the history, that people in the age of Kali, like we discussed in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, how they will be. It has already been said what they will be like. And for them, this is best they can do. They cannot do anything better than that. If we try to do sacrifices and chant all the Vedas and all, it will not bring anything because we don't know how to do it. This is the problem. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy it is that simply chanting the holy name of Krishna, we can come out of this helpless situation.
Yeah, I got two questions. One, when Bhakti was cursed in his previous life, mm-hmm. he says chant Ram's names four times.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because he said, instead of saying chanting the name once, he says another three times, was the reason that he was cursed badly? Because, you know, once would have overcome the situation. And my second question is, when Dhruv Maharaj...
So I didn't get the first question. You said
so,
it's only
so,
once.
Was
yeah,
it, was it
right.
just once?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Said,
you said this showed that the sage told him, then if you told him four times you have to chant, that means you didn't have enough faith in the holy name.
Yes.
Ramchandra's name once is enough.
That's right.
That you didn't have to chant four times to get out of that simple reaction. So that was the first thing. Yeah.
And the second question was, when Dhruv Maharaj left his the earth planet after 36,000 years, he went in his material body.
Yes.
But surely going in any planet with the material body is you know, you suffer the four types of, you know, old age, death.
Yes.
He
but
must have his body must have been transformed before he left.
He has, yes. Actually, as soon as they moved into the Dhruva's planet, Polestar, Sunidhi and mother, Sunidhi and Dhruv Maharaj went in their bodies. It was only to show that even that is possible to happen. And they say material body becomes a spiritual body when it enters into the spiritual world.
Okay.
And Dhruv Maharaj has not got back into the Vaikuntha yet. He is still present in the Polestar. When Brahma's devastation is over, and when Brahma goes back, that's the time when he will go back to the spiritual world. To the Vaikuntha planets. That's the agreement between Krishna and Dhruva. So it's a long time he has got still there. So it is right that in the material body it is not possible to live that long, but the body changes. And the change of body happens along with the change of consciousness as well. It happens, that change happens. That when you know in the Bhagavatam, there is another incident later on comes, I think it's in the 8th canto, that there is a story of this crocodile and the King Indrajumna, that story. So the crocodile turned back into its original form as Vidyadhara, which he was before. And Indrajumna, who was in the form of the elephant, he turned back into his spiritual body, right, that time. So while going back, Krishna called him Gajendra because originally he was in the elephant's body. So he told Krishna, why are you calling me Gajendra? And because I was an elephant in my last life, but now I have changed my body, you are still calling me an elephant. It doesn't look very nice. He said to Krishna like that. Krishna said, it is that body that made me to come here to take you out of this condition. Because when the crocodile bit you, you know that story in the Bhagavatam, it's nice. And when the crocodile bit you, and you were calling for my help, how did you address me? He said. And you address me that you are the protector of all living entities, not only Brahmanas or anybody. And Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that is how you offered that flower to me. And even the flower was not there, the flower came on that spot into the lake, because the lake was thousands of years they fought each other. Between the crocodile and the elephant were fighting in this lake. And you can imagine, thousands of years, if a crocodile and elephant was fighting, there is no possibility of any lotus flower standing there. But there you find again that he managed to take one lotus flower from there and offer it to Krishna at that time. And that lotus flower has come at that time by Krishna's arrangement. It has happened for him to pick it up and make the last offering to Krishna. Because previous life, in King Indradyumna's body, he has performed this. He was offering flowers to Krishna all the time. So that samskara followed him in this life also. Even though in an elephant's body, he was still having that samskara coming out through him. And that's what it is showing. So from this you can see that sometimes we think something is not possible. But in the spiritual terms, many things are possible. So many things do happen. And unfortunately, we have written off Vedic knowledge and Vedic culture totally, saying that this is all some stories and fiction what somebody has written down. And unfortunately, been trained like that, to think like that. And our education also went in the same way. That is what has happened. In fact, a lot of this is the... And a lot of people are answerable to all this, what has happened. But you can see how the modern world has been deprived from the benefit of a very higher knowledge in life because of this. That we try to establish something false in place of something which is true. And this falsity has become so strong now that we are helpless about it. This falsity is leading us all the time. And from one illusion to another, you keep jumping. We have no relationship with Krishna. We have no understanding what is Krishna's position. We have no understanding what is our position either. And with false pride, we continue in this material world trying to control it one way or the other. And eventually all ends up in disaster.
With regards to simple reactions,
yeah.
If the disciple does simple activities, and it then can affect the spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be said then, maybe correct me if I'm not, I've heard that sometimes because of the simple reactions from the disciples, if a spiritual master is on the Madhyam stage, he can fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case? Yeah.
Right. If you falsely take the spiritual master's position, then you will fall. It's always like that. A spiritual master who is falling down is not a spiritual master in true sense. If he is falling down, what sort of spiritual master is that then? Then it should mean there's somewhere something wrong, seriously, in the system or in the person or something what you have done. Shastras don't accept that. Shastra says that a spiritual master qualification not mentioned. Viprakulina krda samskri yoga sudhida veda agama tattva vetaha varnashram acharam adho didiksha daksha tavasi guru asti gostu. Guru's qualifications are there. If I simply say that you are a guru and if you do things in that way, then these things can happen. Fall down can happen. But a disciple may have a lot of sinful activities, but guru should not fall because of that. If he's falling because of that thing, then the guru is also, there's some problem somewhere. So that's what the way it is mentioned about that. But it is not good that if a disciple who has taken initiation from a spiritual master engages in sinful activities and create disturbance for his mind. That is not a good situation. Because if the spiritual master is trying to preach Krishna consciousness and a disciple is creating disturbances for him, that's not a very good situation either for him. And it is also reflects on the spiritual master, because by initiating him into spiritual life, he has also done a wrong thing if his propensities are like that. So sometimes we have to think both sides of the story, spiritual master's side as well as the disciple's side. And otherwise we will wrongly think that everything is something wrong with the spiritual master and that's why all this has happened. No, disciple is also equally responsible. Before the spiritual master accepts a disciple, he has to have some understanding also of what he is doing. Otherwise he may accept somebody, just increasing the number is no good, and that will not help at the end. It's only simply fooling each other. Spiritual master fooling the disciple, disciple fooling the spiritual master. It's not going to help. There is a rule and law behind it, and it is better to follow that.
Why did the Brahmins not stop from having a birth of Vena? I mean, if they knew that there was going to be a lot of sinful reactions,
yes.
Why did they not bring the birth?
Yes. I was saying this before, that in the originally King Vena was not to be born. Anga said, I have no issues. That means anarchy after that. There is no children to manage the kingdom. When that situation happens, it's a very difficult situation because you have to remember it's not democracy. It's a completely authority in the control of a king. And for a king not to have children is a very difficult condition, because then who will take over the kingdom? That issue came up. So the issue was discussed between the ministers and the brahmanas. And it was ministers' proposal that even if we get a bad child, doesn't matter. At least there is somebody there. Prabhupada used to say, it's better to have a blind uncle rather than having no uncle. It's the same situation. That at least let's have somebody in that position, in the chair, as a king. Even if he is bad, it's not up to the mark. At least there is somebody there. So it was from that understanding they decided to take in this approach, and they continue doing that. But if they had not taken that, there would have been no king, there would have been a different situation. So they, because Putrayamishti is performed normally by those powerful kings, in Dasharatha's case you saw, there are others also like that who perform Putrayamishti. When Putrayamishti was performed, there was the demigods always mentioned to them what was the reason behind of not having the children. And when Lord Ramachandra appeared, it specifically mentioned in the Ramayana that there were two reasons why Lord Ramachandra appeared. One was, Dasharatha was performing Putrayamishti. That was only one side issue. The main issue was, Ravana was creating too much havoc with the demigods. He was playing, messing around with Lord Shiva also. He's gone to such a degree. Then, at that time, Krishna decided that I have to come. And Dasharatha was performing Putrayamishti, so this is the right way to go in, and he decided to come. And you can see, in spite of all these things, Dasharatha had to give up his body according to the law of karma. He could not escape from that. As you know that story, what happened? At the end, when Dasharatha died, he had to cry for Rama and leave his body. Why? Because he killed the son of a sage before, and that curse came back into him before his death. So none of these words are untrue. Everything is true from beginning to end. Only thing is, because we haven't got the direct experience, so we started doubting, oh, can all these things happen like this? The sage's words will never go untrue, will never go in vain.
Also, I heard about the Popa says regarding the Veena's case.
Yeah.
The Brahmanas decided to kill Veena, says, they had the power.
Yeah, the way it happened was, I can read that sentence. Hadam Achula Nindaya, that's what it says there. That the wordings are so good in that sense, that it says there that
इत्थं व्यवसिदाहङ्गु ऋषयो रूढमन्यवां निजज्ञो हुं कृतेर्वेनं कथमच्युत निन्दय. That whom was the only word they have spoken. They didn't say anything else. Suni nijagno hum kradayur venam. As soon as they spoke venam kadam achudan indaya, he is dead.
there itself, it was over. So they decided to kill him in the sense that they offended him so, to such a degree that this one of the sages could not bear it anymore. Because after all, they are saintly people. They accept Krishna's authority, all circumstances. They don't question. And if somebody all the time criticizing Krishna or Krishna's authority, they're not going to tolerate it. And Vena has misjudged things, that he thought that what can they do to me? This was, and in fact, they told he told them that you people are sitting in the forest, and because of the sun, rain, and fog and mist and everything, your heads have all gone crazy. He says to them, the Vena is saying to the saintly people, so it's you who require treatment. He says, it's not me. He says, and he also said to them that I'm not surprised that you are talking like this. Vena is saying to them. So this gone too far. They and the sages realized it, that nothing is going to change. He's going to stick to his position, and no matter what we try to advise him, he's not going to take to it. And he said to them at the end, if ever you feel that you have to worship somebody, it's me you have to worship, nobody else. He said that I am the king and I am the manifested form of the... there is a verse there. Then says there, the way he stopped everything, the whole spiritual activities came to a dead halt in the kingdom. Na drashtavyam, na hodavyam, na dhadavyam. It says there that no more sacrifices, no more homams, and no more charity. Everything has to come to a dead stop now. Na drashtavyam, na dhadavyam, na hodavyam. All he says, na, nothing. No more, anymore. So if you get a king like this, what can you do? What do you do with this situation? And when it gets to extreme, it fired the sages up so strongly that they had no other alternative except to finish him then and there. That's why it said, "Hum kada machilam indaya," that one hum was enough. Down there, it said, so everything was over. So that is their power. That's what. That's the kind of people they were. Unlike us, we tolerate so much in life. We have to whatever the government does and don't do. We still don't. So we'll stop there. And all glory to Srila Prabhupada.